Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. Here we are. We're on the road to the spring holy days, the first holy day season of this year of 2025. And so this message has something to do with Passover preparation. The title of this message is Look for What We Do Not See. Find what isn't there. And that's from our perspective. We don't know what's there. So from our perspective, we look for it, something that's not there. Why would we look for something that we know that's not there? This will come key a little bit later. Let's start. This is going to be a little bit long introduction. Let's start in 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3. We're going to take a brief survey of some of the good kings of Judah. And what I want to do is to show you that the kings, they did a good job, but God always had an issue with them. There was always a fault, most of the time. And it was like, well, they did this, but they didn't do this. And so now let's just start in 1 Kings 3 and verse 3, and this is King Solomon. And it says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. So God is saying, look, he did good, but he did bad too. I wish that he hadn't omitted these things. I wish that he hadn't done this. Now let's look at 1 Kings 14, 7 through 9. 1 Kings 14, 7 through 9. Go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord your God of Israel, I lifted you up from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel. And this is a king of Israel, not necessarily king of Judah, although others will probably be Judah. And tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you instead of Rehoboam, Solomon's son. And you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes. But you have done evil above all who were before you, for you have gone and made yourself other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. 2 Kings, now let's go to 2 Kings 12. 2 Kings 12. This is talking about Joash, 2 Kings 12, verses 2 and 3. And Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yes! Way to go, Joash! All the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So as long as the priest was alive, keeping him in line, then Joash did the right thing. But the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. 2 Kings 15, 3 to 4. And so now we're talking about Jeroboam, and it says, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yes, yes, way to go, man. According to all that his father Amaziah had done, and we're kind of doing this a little bit out of order, but with intent. Only, again, the high places were not removed, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. What's up with these kings? Why do these kings continue to allow themselves to those who they rule to continue to sacrifice to evil? Ugh. Now, 2 Kings 14, 3 through 4. And he did, this is talking about Amaziah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yes! Yet, not like David his father. He did according to all the things that Joash his father did, only the high places were not taken away. And the people still sacrificed and burned incense on high places. Now let's turn to 2 Chronicles 25, that's the last book in the Old Testament. And we're going to see something. This is a clarification that we're going to see on Amaziah, because Amaziah did something that was really interesting. There's a further explanation about Amaziah. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 2. It's talking about Amaziah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So what God is looking for is the perfect heart. You know, we heard Mike Heiss talk about the biblical lev, the heart, soul, mind connection that God's looking for with us. Amaziah did some terrible things. But it wasn't with, he obeyed God, but not with a perfect heart. We want to be like Uzziah. Now who is Uzziah? Let's look at chapter 26, chapter 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 4 and 5. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yes, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he saw God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God blessed him. So as long as we're with him, as long as we're with God, then God's going to bless us. He's going to teach us. He's going to instruct us. He's going to help us. 2 Chronicles 29. But here's Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah is great. So Hezekiah 29 and verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Look, there's no only. There's no but. There's no only he did not do this or only he didn't do this. This is, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father done. He didn't need the crutch of a high priest to keep him in line. Hezekiah did what was right and good in the sight of the Lord. Let's look at Josiah, chapter 34 and verse 2. 2 Chronicles 34, we're talking about Josiah 34 and verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right nor to the left. This guy's a champion. Yes, we're following David and Hezekiah and Josiah. We want to do these right things, but not like Uzziah or who became a leper. Look at 26, chapter 26, 4 and 5. Talking about Uzziah 26 and verse 4, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions. As long as he sought the Lord, God blessed him. Now, I read that, but what's interesting is that in verse 16, when he got strong and got full of himself, his heart was lifted up, but to his own destruction. We don't want that in our lives. And he sinned against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So he was being very presumptuous in his sins and taking to himself that which he should not have done. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Yeah, it's a good lesson. But what's the point of this? What am I talking about here? Just by the way, I'll let you know that, and he became a leper, Uzziah did, because the man of God came and he says, what is it that you're doing? You're burning incense? You're taking that, the authority, the responsibility of a priest to yourself? You shouldn't be doing this, man. And he got all angry and huffy and he says, I'm going to do what I want to do. And he became leprous right there in front of the priest, and they shoved him out. He left himself. And so the rest of his time, he was a leper for his arrogancy. We don't need that, for sure. As long as he sought God, God blessed him. That's what we want. You know, you can look back also King Asa in chapter 15, good King Asa, chapter 15, 2-4, it says that as long as he was with God, as long as you are with God, then God will be with you. We can take that lesson to heart. But what are we talking about? They didn't see their sins. They were like oblivious to them. They were, I'm doing what's right. I know I'm good. I know I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. I'm just following my father David. Don't tell me I'm doing wrong. Oh, but the high places. Oh, well, you know. Oh, but the people are still sacrificing to Baal. You know, people will be people. Children will be kids. Kids will be kids. I can't keep track of everybody. You know, No, the leader had a certain responsibility. Brethren, we're on our way to becoming kings and priests, are we not? We're learning, we're in training to be kings and priests. And so we can take lessons from these priests and see what they were doing and what they were ignorant of, and then look for those things in our lives so that we don't make the same mistakes. This is the Passover preparation that I'm talking about here. We need to ask God in His mercy to show us our hidden sins. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11. When we're taking the Passover, I'm going to read from 24 to 28. And after giving thanks, he broke it, the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is being broken for you. This do in the remembrance of me." In like manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. For this reason, if anyone shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," that's our big key, that's our big worry, that's our big fear. We don't want to take the Passover in an unworthy manner, because if we take it unworthily, he should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So what do we do? Verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup accordingly." He's saying, look in the mirror. Ask, you know, how am I doing? Am I living up to God's law? Am I performing the way that God would want me to perform? Ours isn't just about, Fred's been going through the law series, you know, Romans 2 and 3, and he clearly states, that, as Paul did, that we cannot be justified by any works of law. We understand that. However, when we love God, and when we come into a relationship with him, he expects a certain performance. If we're married, then our mate would expect a certain performance that we're not going to continue dating, right? So it's not like, okay, we're married, now I can do whatever we want to do because there's no law. I can do whatever I want. And that's what Fred was covering in Romans 7. But that's not the case. Let's turn now to Psalm 7. Look, the symbology that we're looking for here is that we need to search out and find the leavening. And the leavening that we understand is symbolic of sin in our lives. We want to put the sin out. We want to get the Egypt out of us. So we have to go through and look for the sin. So thus, we're looking for what we do not see. That's the title of the message. Or we're also trying to find what isn't there. But it might be there. It's there. We just don't see it. So it's our perception that we don't understand and that we don't see what's going on there. So what we have to do is to ferret out the sin where we don't think it will be. When you study and you learn and you're asking God to show you things that about yourself and to learn and change, he also gives you new insights and new understandings. And so, like, now I understand more fully that Joseph represents Jesus Christ. He was in the pit as good as dead, and he was lifted out of the pit, and he had gone to search for the welfare of his brethren to see how his brethren were doing. His brethren killed him. We, humanity, killed Jesus Christ. We put him in the pit. And yet God raised him. He was raised the third day. And look at this. Look what happened after this. Joseph was as good as dead. His father and his family thought that had died. But there was a family reunion, and they realized he's alive again from their perspective. Okay? But what's interesting is that the two things, there was famine in the land, they went to the brothers, the 11 brothers went to Egypt to get what? Grain, which represents, there's no grain in the Jewish community during unleavened bread. no wheat, no barley, no rye, no sorghums, things like that. They can't have the grain in there. But they went to get the staple of life, bread, the staple of life, which is Jesus Christ, right? The true bread, the true manna that came down from heaven. And what happened? The cup, they planted the cup. And we just read in 1 Corinthians 11 that the grain was represented in the wafer, right? There was still grain there in the wafer, the unleavened cake. And the cup is the symbol of the New Testament of Jesus Christ's blood. So those two elements were the grain and the cup that Joseph had installed surreptitiously into Benjamin's bag. And that's what brought the families back together so they could eventually leave Egypt. Isn't that interesting? So they could eventually leave sin. And this is done by the salvation of the deliverer and the provider of the grain, Joseph, who represented Jesus Christ on all of Israel. Interesting. We have to look for sin where we don't think it is, because it's there, but we don't know about it. So we're saying, God, help us find this. Psalm 7, verses 3 and 4. Oh, Lord, if I have done this, this is David talking, and he says, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil to the one who was at peace with me, or if I have plundered my enemy without a cause. What's he doing? David's saying, I don't know if I did this or not, Lord. If I did any of these things, please show me. I'm kind of busy and I'm get going and I don't know what all I'm doing necessarily, and I may have offended some people. And please help me. Please forgive me. Have them be forgiving of me. Let's go now to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the simple wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. It doesn't sound like the Protestant perspective that the law is done away with, does it? It's showing that the law is pure and good and clean. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, yes, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? He's talking about mankind now. He says, I don't even know all the things that I do wrong. Who can understand? Lord, I'm sorry. I make these mistakes. I'm sorry. Who can understand all the errors that he makes? Oh, cleanse me from my secret faults. We have to look for what is not there. Look for what we do not see. We have to find what isn't there or what we don't perceive to be there. Oh, cleanse me from my secret faults and keep back your servant also from the presumptuous sins. Remember Uzziah? And do not let them, my presumptuous sins, rule over me. For then I will be blameless and I will be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and my meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What do we do? So many times the meditations of our heart is foul perversity. We think about things that we shouldn't, and then we dwell on them, we mull on them, and then we just go blithely on our way like a bull in a china closet, and we're just ramrodding everything, going bam, 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 bam. And we run over people's feelings and emotions and harm people, and we don't mean to. I don't mean to. I know I've been guilty of this. For those who I have harmed, I've ramrodded over and I've been harsh, I really apologize. I sincerely apologize. Let's turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Psalm 90, 7 through 9. For we are consumed by your anger and by your wrath we are troubled. Oh, God, we do wrong, and then we get punished, and then we get upset, and we think, you know, why did you punish me, Lord? And then he shows you your hidden sin. And then we say, ah, oh, okay, I get it. I'm sorry. You're right. I was wrong. For we are consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are troubled. You have set our iniquities before you. Our secret sins are in the light of your face. They're evident before God. He sees them clearly. He knows who we are. He can look into the depths in the heart of our soul, of our hearts and in our minds, and see us deeply and say, Byron, wake up, buddy. Wake up. I hope you don't have to be spanked, you know. I'm getting my little paddle out. Oh, that's not enough. Okay, here comes a 2x4. What? That's not enough? Here's a 4x4. You come take your licks, Byron. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your face. For all our days pass away in your wrath. We finish our years as with a sigh. At the end of our lives, if we live in our sins, we just wither. We don't want to be like that. Have you known anyone who has been solid to the end? I have. I've known people who are encouraging and uplifting right to the very ends of their lives. What a blessing, what a benefit. I want to be like that. I don't want to have this nonsense of dying with a whimper. I want people to come around me when I'm on my deathbed, and I want to say, may God bless you, and may you have success in your life. May God be real to you. Live, follow David. Live with life. Live with the words of God in your heart. That's who I want to be. Godly to the end. So here's what we have to do. This is a huge, huge point, and I really want to make this clear, because this is super, super important. When we ask God to show us our hidden sins, when we're looking for what isn't there, what we don't perceive to be there, when we're looking for what we do not see, we have to ask God to show us in his mercy, because it can be overwhelming to us. We have to look at God and say, God, look, please, in your loving kindness and mercy, show me my hidden sin. Show me what I need to change so that I'm not. But don't overwhelm me. Don't, because if you give me too much, I can't handle it. Sometimes that's what we are. That's where we're at. Okay. Let's finish this up. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do righteousness and justice is more pleasing than sacrifice. But let's finish up in Romans 12. We have one more scripture after Romans 12. But let's start in 12. Romans 12:1-2. I exhort you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember, to do righteousness and justice is more pleasing than sacrifice, but our lives are living sacrifices, and that is our holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. That's what we're supposed to do. Do not conform yourselves to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order that you may prove that which is well and pleasing and good and the perfect will of God. Let's now go to chapter 13:11-14. Romans 13:11-14. Now consider this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour that we should be roused out of sleep. You know, there's a movement now to be woke, as if they're awakened to reality, but actually the woke movement is even blinding their eyes even more. They're even more jaded, more in the dark. They don't know. It's time for you and I to wake up. The time is now. Knowing this, that it is already the hour that we should be roused out of sleep, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. This is the end time for us, brethren. And if it's not the end time right now, when we die, it's our end time. The night is almost over. The day is drawing near. What's he talking about? the nighttime of living in this darkened world, and the light to come is Jesus Christ when he shines on the world and returns to earth. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Yes, let us walk decently as in the daytime, as if it's daytime already right now for us. It is. This is our daytime. Not reveling in drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity, even in the mind, not in sensuality, not in strife or emulation. We can't be seat warmers in the church of God. There's no place for that. God has no joy in that. Verse 14, but let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not make any allowance for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now let's go to the last in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, anything that's holding us back. Do you know that swimmers, to gain the nanoseconds, they shave their bodies so that the hair doesn't cause extra friction, so that they can get to the other end and back faster? It's the hair. They shave their bodies to get the hair off of their body so that they don't have that little tiny weight. What weights are important to us that are holding us back? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entraps us, and let us run the race set before us with endurance. Brethren, we are to become flawless kings, following the example of Jesus Christ, our perfect example. Brethren, Matthew 5:48 says we are to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. So we have to walk in the light right now. We have to lay aside every weight. We have to ask God, Lord, please show us our hidden and presumptuous sins so that we can be cleansed of them. But Lord God, please show us in your mercy. May God bless you all. May God bless you in your preparation for the Passover that's coming. We have a short time, and may God encourage you and help you and work with you and not be too harsh in teaching you. So let us lay aside every weight and let us walk in the light.